How bloodily the sun begins to peer above yon Busky Hill. The day looks pale at his distemperature.
The southern wind hath played the trumpet to his purposes. And by his hollow whistling in the leaves foretells a tempest and a blustering day.
Then with the losers let it sympathize, for nothing can seem foul to those that win. How now, my Lord of Worcester? 'Tis not well that you and I should meet upon such terms as now we meet. You have deceived our trust and made us doff our easy robes of peace to crush our old limbs in ungentle steel. This is not well, my lord, this is not well. What say you to it? Will you again unknit this churlish knot of all abhorred war and move in that obedient orb again where you did give a fair and natural light, and be no more an exhaled meteor, a prodigy of fear and a portent of mischief to the unborn times?
Hear me, my liege. For mine own part, I could be well content to entertain the lag end of my life with quiet hours. But I protest I have not sought the day of this dislike.
You have not sought it. How comes it, then?
Rebellion lay in his way, and he found it.
Peace to it, peace.
It pleased your majesty to turn your looks of favor from myself and all our house. And yet I must remember you, my lord. We were the first and dearest of your friends. For you, my staff of office, did I break in Richard's time and posted day and night to meet you on the way and kiss your hand, while yet you were in place and in account, nothing so strong and fortunate as I. It was myself, my brother, and his son who brought you home. Boldly did out dare the dangers of the time. But being fed by us, you used us so as that ungentle gull, the cuckoo's bird, useth the sparrow, did oppress our nest. Grew by our feeding to so great a bulk that even our love durst not come near your sight for fear of swallowing. But with nimble wing we were enforced for safety's sake to fly out of your sight and raise this present head, whereby we stand opposed by such means as you yourself have forged against yourself, by unkind usage, dangerous countenance, and violation of all faith and troth sworn to us in your younger enterprise.
These things, indeed, you have articulate, proclaimed at market crosses, read in churches to face the garment of rebellion with some fine color that may please the eye of fickle changelings and poor discontents, which gape and rub the elbow at the news of hurly-burly innovation. And never yet did insurrection want such watercolors to impaint his cause, nor moody beggars, starving for a time of pell-mell havoc and confusion.
In both our armies, there is many a soul shall pay full dearly for this encounter, if once they join in trial. Tell your nephew, the Prince of Wales doth join with all the world in praise of Henry Percy. By my hopes, this present enterprise set off his head. I do not think a braver gentleman, more active valiant, or more valiant young, more daring or more bold, is now alive to grace this latter age with noble deeds. For my part, I may speak it to my shame, I have a truant been to chivalry, and so I hear he doth account me too. Yet this before my father's majesty, I am content that he shall take the odds of his great name and estimation, and will, to save the blood on either side, try fortune with him in a single fight.
And, Prince of Wales, so dare we venture thee. Albeit, considerations infinite do make against it. No, good Worcester, no, we love our people well. Even those we love that are misled upon your cousin's part. And will they take the offer of our grace, both he and they, and you? Yea, every man shall be my friend again, and I'll be his. So tell your cousin, and bring me word what he will do. But if he will not yield, rebuke and dread correction wait on us, and they shall do their office. So be gone. We will not now be troubled with reply. We offer fair. Take it advisedly.
will not be accepted on my life. The Douglas and the Hotspur both together are confident against the world in arms.
Hence, therefore, every leader to his charge. Fall on their answer, will we set on them. And God befriend us, as our cause is just.
Hal, if thou seest me down in the battle and bestride me, so, 'tis a point of friendship.
Nothing but a colossus can do thee that friendship. Say thy prayers, and farewell.
I would to a bedtime, Hal, and all well.
Why, thou owest God a debt.
'Tis not due yet. I would be loath to pay him before his day. What need I be so forward with him that calls not on me? Well, it is no matter. Honor pricks me on. Yea, but how if honor prick me off when I come on? How then? Can honor set to a leg? No. Or an arm? No. Or take away the grief of a wound? No. Honor hath then no skill in surgery. No. What is honor? Word. What is in that word honor? What is that honor? Air. A trim reckoning. Who hath it? He that died a Wednesday. Doth he feel it? No. Doth he hear it? No. It is insensible then. Yea, to the dead. But will it not live with the living? No. Why? Detraction will not suffer it. Therefore, I owe none of it. Honor is a mere scutcheon. And so ends my catechism.
Oh, no, Sir Richard. My nephew must not know the liberal and kind offer of the king.
Well, best he did.
Then are we all undone. It is not possible. It cannot be. The king should keep his word in loving us. He will suspect us still and find the time to punish this offence and other faults. Therefore, dear cousin, let not Harry know in any case the offer of the king.
Deliver what you will. Say it is so.
My uncle has returned. Deliver up my Lord of Westmoreland. Uncle, what news?
The king will bid you battle presently.
Defy him by the Lord of Westmoreland.
Lord Douglas, go you and tell him so.
Oh, marry, I shall him very willingly.
There's no seeming mercy in the king.
Did you beg any? God forbid.
I told him gently of our grievances. Of his oath-breaking, which he meant it thus, by now forswearing that he is forsworn. He calls us rebels, traitors, will purge with haughty arms this hateful name in us.
Armed, gentlemen, to arms. I've thrown a brave defiance in King Harry's teeth, and Westmoreland was engaged to bear it. This cannot choose but bring him quickly on.
Prince of Wales stepped forth before the king, and nephew challenged you to single fight.
Oh, would to God the quarrel lay upon our heads and that no man might draw short breath today. But I and Harry Monmouth. Tell me, how showed his tasking? Seemed it in contempt?
No, by my soul, I never in my life did hear a challenge urged more modestly. Unless a brother should a brother dare to gentle exercise and proof of arms. He gave you all the virtues of a man. Trimmed up your praises with a princely tongue, spoke your deserving like a chronicle. Making you ever better than his praise by still dispraising praise valued with you, and which became him like a prince indeed. He made a blushing seitel of himself, and chid his truant youth with such a grace as if he mastered there a double spirit of teaching and of learning instantly. There did he pause. But let me tell the world, if he outlive the envy of this day, England did never own so sweet a hope, so much misconstrued in his wantonness.
Cousin, I think thou art enamored of his follies. Never did I hear of any prince so wild a liberty. But be he as he will, yet once ere night I will embrace him with a soldier's arm, that he shall shrink under my courtesy. arm. Arm with speed. And fellows, soldiers, friends. Aldrum, better consider what you have to do than I that have not will the gift of tongue can lift your blood up with persuasion.
My lord, here are letters for you.
I cannot read them now. Oh, gentlemen, the time of life is short. To spend that shortness basely were too long if life did ride upon a dial's point, still ending at the arrival of an hour. And if we live to tread on kings. If die, brave death when princes die with us. Now for our consciences, the arms are fair when the intent of bearing them is just.
My lord, prepare. The king comes on apace.
I thank him that he cuts me from my tale, for I profess not talking. Only this. Let each man do his best. And here draw I a sword, whose temper I intend to stain with the best blood that I can meet withal in the adventure of this perilous day. Now, Espérance. Percy. And set on. Sound all the lofty instruments of war. And by that music, let us all embrace. For heaven to earth, some of us never shall a second time do such a courtesy.
Dost thou seek upon my head?
No, then, my name is Douglas, and I do haunt thee in battle thus, because some tell me thou art a king.
They tell thee true.
And my lord of Stafford, dear, today has bought thy likeness, for instead of thee, King Harry, this sword has ended him. Which shall it be, unless thou yield thee as my prisoner?
I was not born a yielder, thou proud Scot. And thou shalt find a king that will revenge Lord Stafford's death. Let's go!
Fight! Oh, Douglas! Hast thou fought at home, and must I never have triumphed upon a Scot?
All's done. All's won. See? Here, breathless, lies the king.
Where?
Here.
Miss Douglas.
Well, Blunt. I know this face full well. A gallant knight he was. His name was Blunt. Somebody furnished like the king himself.
Fool, go with thy soul, then it will. A borrowed title hast thou brought to thee. Why didst thou tell me thou art a king?
Ah, the king has many marching in his coats.
Then by my sword I will kill all his coats. I'll murder all his wardrobe. Piece by piece until I find the king.
Up and away! Our soldiers stand full fairly for the day!
This way! Come on! Come on! Hurry! The enemy lies there! Come on!
Man. Though I could escape shot free at London, yet I fear the shot here. Here's no scoring but upon the pate.
So, who are you? Sir Walter Blunt.
There's honor for you. I'm as hot as molten lead and as heavy.
Oh, God, keep lead out of me. I need no more weight than mine own bowels.
I've led my ragamuffins where they're peppered. There's not three of my 150 left alive. And they're for the town's end to beg during life. Oh, who comes here?
What? Stands thou idle here?
What?
Lend me thy sword.
Oh, God.
Many noblemen lie stark and stiff under the hooves of vaunting enemies. Whose death are yet unrevenged, I prithee lend me thy sword.
Oh, Allah. I prithee give me leave to breathe a while. Turk Gregory never did such deeds in arms as I have done this day. I paid Percy, I've made him sure.
He is indeed and living to kill thee. I prithee lend me thy sword.
For God, Hal, if Percy be alive, thou gettest not my sword.
Huh?
Take my pistol if thou wilt.
Give it.
What, is it in the case?
Aye, it is hot, it is hot. There's that will sack a city.
What? Is it a time to jest and dally now?
Well, if Percy be alive, I'll pierce him.
If he do come in my way, so. If he do not, if I come in his willingly, let him make a carbonado of me. I like not such grinning honor as Sir Walter hath. Give me life, which, if I can save, so. If not, honor comes unlooked for, and there's an end. This way, follow me, man!
I prithee, Harry, withdraw thyself. Thou bleeds too much. Lord John of Lancaster, go you with him.
Not I, my lord, unless I do bleed too. I do beseech your majesty, make up, lest your retirement do amaze your friends.
I will do so. My lord of Westmoreland, go you with him.
Come, come, my lord. I'll lead you to your tent.
Lead me, my lord. I do not need your help. God forbid a shallow scratch should drive the Prince of Wales from such a field as this. My stained nobility lies trodden on. Rebels' arms triumph in massacres.
He breathes too low. Come, cousin Westmoreland, our duty this way lies. For God's sake, come.
My God, thou hast deceived me, Lancaster. I did not think thee lord of such a spirit. Before I loved thee as a brother, John. Now I do respect thee as my soul.
I saw him hold Lord Percy at the point with lustier maintenance than I did look for of such an ungrown warrior.
Oh, this boiling's metal to us all!
Another king! They grow like hydra's heads. I am the Douglas, fatal to all those that wear those colors on them. Who art thou that counterfeits the person of a king?
The king himself, who Douglas grieves at heart so many of his shadows thou hast met and not the very king. I have two boys seek Percy and thyself about the field. But seeing thou fallst on me so luckily, I will assay thee. So defend thyself.
Fear thou another counterfeit. Yet thou bearest thee like a king. But fine, thou art, thou art, thou be. And thus, I win thee.
Hold up my head, vile stotter, the like never to hold it up again. The spirits of valiant Shirley Stafford Blunt are in my arms. It is the Prince of Wales that threatens thee, who never promiseth, but he means to pay. Cheerly, my lord, how falls your grace? Sir Nicholas Gorthy hath for succor sent, and Sir Hath Clifton. On to Clifton Street.
Stay and breathe a while. Thou hast redeemed thy lost opinion and showed thou makest some tender of my life in this fair rescue thou hast brought to me.
Oh, God, he did me too much injury that ever said I hearkened for your death. If ever so, I might have let alone the insulting hand of Douglas over you, which would have been as speed in your end as all the poisonous potions in the world and saved the treacherous labor of your son.
Make up to Clifton. Answer Sir Nicholas Gorthy.
I mistake not. Thou art Harry Monmouth.
Thou speaks as if I would deny my name.
My name
is Harry Percy.
Why, then I see a very valiant rebel of the name. I am the Prince of Wales. And think not Percy to share with me in glory any more. Two stars keep not their motion in one sphere. Nor can one England brook a double reign of Harry Percy and the Prince of Wales.
Nor shall it, Harry. For the hour is come to end the one of us. And would to God thy name in arms were now as great as mine.
I'll make it greater, ere I part from thee. And all the budding honors on thy crest are cropped to make a garland for my head.
I can no longer brook thy vanities.
Wills in hell! To it, hell! Nay, you shall find no boys' play here, I can tell you what. What?
Hey! Lost from me in my ears. I better brook the loss of brittle life than those broad titles thou hast won me. They wound my thoughts worse than thy sword my flesh.
but thoughts, the slaves of life, and life, time's fall. And time itself that takes survey of all the world must have a start. Oh, I prophesy. But that the earth in claw and cold hand of death lies on my tongue. Thou, Percy, thou art dust and food for...
For worms, brave Percy. Fare thee well, great heart. Ill-weaved ambition, how much art thou shrunk? When that this body did contain a spirit, a kingdom for it was too small a bound. But now 2 paces of the vilest earth is room enough. This earth that bears thee dead, there's not alive so stout a gentleman. If thou wert sensible of courtesy, I should not make so dear a show of zeal. Let my favors hide thy mangled face. And even in my behalf, I'll thank myself for doing these fair rites of tenderness. Adieu, and take thy praise with thee to heaven. Thy ignominy sleep with thee in the grave, but not remembered in thy epitaph. Acquaintance. Could not all this flesh keep in a little life? Poor Jack. Farewell. I could have better spared a better man. Oh, I should have a heavy miss of thee if I were much in love with vanity. Death hath not struck so fat a deer today, though many dearer in this bloody fray. Embowelled will I see thee, by and by. Till then, in blood, my noble Percy lie.
Embowel me today, I'll give you leave to powder me and eat me too tomorrow. S'blood, 'tis time to counterfeit. Or that hot termagant Scot had paid me Scot and lock too. Counterfeit? And I am no counterfeit. To die is to be a counterfeit, for he's but the counterfeit of a man who hath not the life of a man. But to counterfeit dying, when a man thereby liveth, is to be no counterfeit, but the true and perfect image of life indeed. The better part of valor is discretion. In which better part I've saved my life. Zounds. I'm afraid of this gunpowder, Percy, though he'd be dead. Now, if he should counterfeit too and rise, by my faith, I'm afraid he'd prove the better counterfeit. Therefore, I'll make him sure, yeah, and I'll swear I killed him. Why may not he rise as well as I? Nothing confutes me but eyes, and nobody sees me. Therefore, sirrah, with a new wound in your thigh, come you along with me.
Come, Brother John. Who bravely hast thou fleshed thy maiden sword?
But soft, whom have we here? Did you not tell me this fat man was dead?
I did. I saw him dead, breathless and bleeding on the ground. Art thou alive? Or is it some fantasy that plays upon our eyesight? I prithee speak. We will not trust our eyes without our ears.
Though I know what thou seemest.
No, that's certain. I'm no double man. But if I be not Jack Falstaff, then am I a Jack. There's Percy. If your father will do me any honor, so. If not, let him kill the next Percy himself. I look to be either Earl or Duke, I can assure you.
Percy, I killed myself and saw thee dead.
Did so? Oh, Lord, Lord, how this world is given to lying. Well, I grant I was down and out of breath, and so was he. But we rose both at an instant and fought. A long hour by Shrewsbury clock. If I may be believed, so. If not, let them that should reward valor take the sin upon their own head. I'll take it upon my death. I gave him this wound in the thigh. If the man were alive and would deny it, zounds, I'd make him eat a piece of my sword.
This is the strangest tale that ever I heard.
It is the strangest fellow, Brother John. Come, bring your luggage nobly on your back.
Oh.
If a lie may do thee grace, yeah. I'll gild it with the happiest terms I have. The trumpet sounds retreat. The day is ours. Come, brother. Let us to the highest of the field to see what friends are living who are dead.
I'll follow, as they say, for reward. He that rewards me, God reward him. If I do grow great, I'll grow less, for I'll purge and leave sack and live cleanly as a nobleman should do.
Thus ever did rebellion find rebuke. Ill-spirited Worcester. Did not we send grace, pardon, and terms of love to all of you? And wouldst thou turn our offers contrary? Misuse the tenor of thy kinsman's trust. Three knights upon our party slain today. A noble earl and many a creature else had been alive this hour, if, like a Christian, thou hadst truly borne betwixt our army's true intelligence.
What I've done, my safety urged me to, and I embraced my fortune patiently, since not to be avoided, it falls on me.
Bear Worcester to the death, and Vernon too. Other offenders we will pause upon. How goes the field?
The noble Scot, Lord Douglas, when he saw the fortune of the day quite turned from him, the noble Percy slain, and all his men upon the foot of fear, fled with the rest. Falling from a hill, he was so bruised that the pursuers took him. At my tent, the Douglas is, and I beseech your grace I may dispose of it.
With all my heart.
And Brother John of Lancaster, to you this honorable bounty shall belong. Go to the Douglas, deliver him up to his pleasure, ransomless and free. His valor, shown upon our crests today, have taught us how to cherish such high deeds, even in the bosom of our adversaries.
I thank your grace for this high courtesy, which I shall give away immediately.
Then this remains, that we divide our power. You, son John, and my cousin Westmoreland, towards York shall bend you with your dearest speed to meet Northumberland and the prelate Scroop, who, as we hear, are busily in arms. Myself and you, son Harry, will towards Wales to fight with Glendower and the Earl of March. Rebellion in this land shall lose his sway, meeting the check of such another day. And since this business so fair is done, let us not leave till all our own be won.